Let's just pray. Lord God, we just pray today as we gather around your word that you'd speak to our hearts, that you'd strengthen us and help us and encourage us this morning, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled this message today, Do Not Fear. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says this, For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We live in very uncertain times, restless times, times of political and social upheaval. And in truth, the world has always been in a state of upheaval. Such is the reality of living in a fallen world and a world that's under the curse of sin. But you and I, we are living at the end of the age, aren't we? We're living at a time when time is running out. We're certainly, one thing is for certain this morning, we're nearer now to the end than when we first got saved. Romans 13 and 11 says this. It says, And knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. It feels to me, and I'm sure you'll concur with this, things do seem to be accelerating out there as time winds down. You know, relevantly at the moment, we have wars and rumours of wars. With what's going on over there in Ukraine, we earthquakes, the wind and the waves roaring, the pestilence and plague. We see violence on our streets, men being lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. The love of many waxing cold, all the things that the Bible forewarned us of. We live in the age of apostasy and false religion. Lawlessness abounds, does it not? And the moral institutions that we once took for granted and assumed were solid are getting eroded all the time, like marriage and the family and the sanctity of life. And even common decency and manners are not so common anymore, are they? We live in perilous times. And the Bible warned us about this. There's no longer any respect for authority or the rule of law. Neighbour no longer even speaks to neighbour anymore. Social cohesion is broken, isn't it? 2 Timothy 3 says this. It says, But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Methinks that's the time we're in, don't you? Have we ever been in such a pleasure-loving generation? Have we ever been in such a haughty, headstrong generation than what we're in now? And in the world out there, you know, the global economy, it looks more and more uncertain. We've got a looming energy crisis. We've got inflation across the globe becoming a massive challenge with the pandemic. And now we see the breakout of war in the news in Ukraine. We're living in perilous times indeed. So with all that doom and gloom, what about you and me? What should our focus be in the midst of all this turmoil? Because it's very easy, isn't it, to get caught up with all that's going on out there. And we forget that our hope is not in this world. That our God is still in control. That nothing that's going on around us escapes his attention. His word will be fulfilled. And the tribulations and all that we see around us are just the birth pangs that Jesus warned us of. Matthew 24, verse 3. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Jesus answered, Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumours of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. One thing that Jesus said there that we really need to apply to our lives is see to it that you are not alarmed. Jesus tells us this because our natural reaction, our human reaction with all that's going on and all the calamities and the things that we see in the world is to become alarmed, to become anxious, to become fearful, to become worried. But he tells us not to be alarmed. Why? Because God is in control and these things must happen before the end of the age. We are living through the fulfillment of Scripture, whether we like it or not. Our comfortable lives that we structure and build in this world are not guaranteed to remain comfortable and structured as we would like them to be. We all love to be in control, don't we? We love an easy life. Imagine being a Christian at the moment in the Ukraine. One day you've been going about your ordinary everyday business, going to work, taking the kids to school, going out for a nice meal, enjoying freedoms that you've taken for granted. Suddenly, your country's getting invaded and you're sheltering in a cellar, fearful of you and your family's life. A comfortable existence is shattered. How would you respond? Ultimately, the only thing we can do is commit our ways to the Lord and trust in his mercy and goodness to keep you. And if your life is cut short, we have a hope beyond the grave, don't we? You see, our comfortable life that we have built is not guaranteed. And if you think it is, please show me the scripture and verse where it tells me that. Because the Bible says there is going to be tribulations, there is going to be suffering, there will be potentially persecutions, hardship and trials. And it does tell us that world events will get more and more uncertain, that the birth pangs will increase. But Jesus tells us, let not your hearts be troubled. And just because you're saved this morning doesn't mean you won't be tempted to become troubled and fearful and anxious and caught up in the affairs of this life, even to get depressed and down at these times. But instead, you and I, we need to look up. We need to trust in God in these uncertain times. Luke 21:25 says, there will be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and on the earth dismay among the nations, bewildered by the roaring of the sea and the surging of the waves. Men will faint from fear and anxiety over what is coming upon the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. At that time they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to happen, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Jesus tells us our redemption is drawing near. But these times, when all this begins to happen, we need to lift up our heads. It's interesting that it says that men will faint from fear and anxiety. See, without God, without knowing God, the human spirit is easily crushed by the weight of what is going to be happening on the earth. Men will literally faint from fear and anxiety. See, we mustn't allow ourselves to become anxious. Tempting though that is, when we see and hear what is around us and going on around us in the world out there. But we need to see from God's perspective, from a spiritual perspective, not from a worldly perspective. See, nothing that's happening out there in the world alarms our God. He knows the beginning from the end. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the first and the last. He knows our going out and our coming in. He watches over us. Not a hair on our head can be removed without God's permission. Psalm 121 says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. Your protector will not stumble. Behold, the protector of Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is the shade on your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will guard you from all evil. He will preserve your soul. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. God is our protector and our shield, our fortress, our rock in the time of trouble, as we've just been singing, our guard. He watches over our coming and going. We don't need to fear. You know, your journey in this life isn't over until God says it's over. I remember a few years ago, some of us may remember this, and Alan, who's not here today, will remember. We used to outreach in Warrington on a Saturday morning every week, and the IRA planted a bomb in Warrington, in the town centre, just outside of Boots, and it tragically took the innocent lives of two children. And it was an act of wickedness, of course, and the wicked men that plotted this, and it shocked the nation at the time. And we used to outreach right near that spot, and we week in, week out, we were there. And on this particular Saturday, for whatever circumstantial reasons, the outreach got cancelled. And you know, if we'd have gone out that day, we'd have been in the blast. And that was God's grace. And God knows all the things, as I say, that's around us, but he's in control. You know, it was God's grace and protection that day. And another time, I was with Alan in a car crash caused by a lorry near Bolton, and we both walked away pretty much unscathed in what could have very easily been a fatal accident. Again, God's grace, God's protection. What I'm trying to say is that there will always be events in life outside of our control, and we have to understand and trust who God is, that he's our protector and shield. That doesn't exempt us from sometimes going through hardship, difficulties, tribulations, troubles. But you know, one thing's for certain, we don't leave this life until God appoints us, and we don't need to be fearful. And if you're a child of God, his hand is upon you until the end. It's easy to lose sight of God in times of trouble. It's easy to focus just on the here and now and forget that God's in control. But nothing escapes his attention. A good exercise for you and I is to think back to the amazing times when God has moved in our lives before, in the past, and remember that we still serve the same God today. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. He's still powerful to save. He's still in control. He's still on the eternal throne of heaven. He's still almighty and all powerful. He still walks closer than a brother to those that put their hope in him. We don't need to be fearful. Indeed, our scripture that we read at the beginning says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power and of a sound mind. There's no fear in love. We're loved by God. His spirit dwells in us and gives us peace that passes understanding, so that even in the midst of difficult and hard times, you and I, we can have peace. A peace that the world knows nothing of. A peace, as the Bible tells us, that passes understanding. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 19, we read of Elijah. Elijah had seen God destroy the prophets of Baal. He'd seen God send down fire from heaven. And yet afterwards, having seen all that, he was distressed and anxious by the voice of the wicked woman Jezebel. And he fled into the wilderness and ran for his life. And he listened to a voice of fear rather than trusting God. 1 Kings 19, verse 19, says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a message to Elijah saying, 'So let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time.' And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life, and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there." But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die. What a prayer. And he said, "It is enough now, Lord. Take my life, for I am no better than my father's." Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" So he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets with a sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." You know, Satan often lies to us when trouble comes our way. He says, "You're doomed, there's no way out, you're the only one left," etc. And we listen to the wrong voice, the voice of fear rather than the still small voice of the Lord, who says, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" It's a rhetorical question, that, isn't it? God didn't speak to him in the earthquake or in the bright flashing lights, but calmly said to him, "What are you doing here?" When we get ourselves all tied up in fear and anxiety and worry and depression and stress, God says to us in a still small voice, "What are you doing here? How have you got yourself into this deep dark hole that you're in? You're not alone. I am with you, and the remnant of my people are with you too. Why are you afraid? Have you forgotten so quickly the destruction of the prophets of Baal?" The problem with our faith is often we're quite fickle, aren't we? Sometimes we can have faith to call down fire from heaven. Other times we're hiding in a cave. One day we're shooting a catapult at Goliath's head. The next time we're feigning madness and drooling at the beard. One minute we're walking on water. The next minute we're looking at the storm and sinking. One minute we're Martha, worried and troubled about many things. The next minute we're Mary, sat at Jesus' feet, enjoying his presence. We need to be a single-minded people, not doubting, and faces set like flint. James 1:6 says, "But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind." We do live in dark days. The world is getting darker. And as the end draws near, these kind of events that we're living through will become more, not less frequent. The birth pangs will increase in frequency and magnitude. You know, we need a reality check this morning. We'd all love a secure, controlled life with nothing going wrong, no complications, everything running smoothly, where we're in control and life is comfortable. But in reality, we're living in a fallen world with a real enemy, in a corrupted world full of wickedness and evil. We're living through times of trouble and the distress of nations. We're in the final chapters of human history, and the Lord is the coming of the Lord is drawing near. We need to be ready. We don't know the hour or the day, but it's Jesus is coming back like a thief in the night, it tells us, at an hour we don't expect. We need to be like the wise and the faithful servant who remains steadfast unto the end, not blown and tossed by the winds of doom and gloom and all that is out there. Matthew 24:32 says, "Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near, at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know that until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come in, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household, to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you, that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." You see, it's in the delay that reveals who is faithful and who is not. The faithful servant remained faithful until the end. But the evil servant says in his heart, the master's delaying his coming. And he begins to oppress his fellow servants, begins to eat and drink with the drunken. In other words, he goes back to his old carnal behaviour. And it says in another scripture, doesn't it, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? We need to be ready, church. We need to be in the right mindset. We're in the midst of a perverse and wicked generation. We need to be doers of the word, not hearers only. Philippians 2:12 says, "Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now even more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act on behalf of his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and perverse generation, in which you shine as lights in the world, as you hold forth the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labour in vain." We need to hold forth the word of life. We need to shine as lights in the world. That's our purpose in these testing and trying times, isn't it? To shine as lights in the world. To do everything without complaining and arguing. We do love to complain, don't we? Especially us British. We love to moan about everything. But the Lord wants us to do everything without complaining, without arguing. Why? so that we may be blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a crooked and perverse generation. And it's certainly a crooked and perverse generation out there. But we need to be of a different spirit. Like Caleb, who trusted God to defeat the giants of the land, rather than bring back an evil report of how bad things were, or how fearful he was like the other spies. We need to have a Christ-like mindset, to be a people of faith, not unbelief, to be those whose mind are stayed on thee, understanding that God is in control, like Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, willing to go into the fiery furnace rather than bow down to the idols of this world, trusting God that he's able to rescue us, and even if he doesn't, we'll still serve God. Yet will I trust him. If he slays me, yet will I trust him. I won't curse him. See, God is with us in the rough and in the smooth, in the crazy times and in the comfortable times. We're not alone. He guides us, he leads us, and if we need to just look to him. John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Psalm 46, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. He says, 'Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.'" The only fear we need this morning is the fear of the Lord. To reverence and honour God in our daily lives and trust him with all our heart, and not give in to our natural fears and anxieties. Instead, to cast them upon him because he cares for us. We're in his hands and he is our shield and protector. Amen. Amen. Let's trust in God this morning and pray. Lord God, we thank you for your mercy, your grace. We thank you you are our shield and fortress. And we commit our ways to you this day and give thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.